We are so excited to announce something brand new here at Bayshore Community Church. Available now on any of the app stores, either Apple or Android or even Amazon, is the exciting Bayshore Church app for your mobile device. Now, this app is chock full of content for you to use to engage with Bayshore. There's a sermon archive where you can browse past messages from both campuses. There's ways for you to sign up for classes, for events, for small groups. There's events calendar so that you don't miss anything that's happening. There's even a Bible reading section where you can get daily updates on where we are reading in the Bible. Also, this app has a great new giving feature, a very sleek and efficient way to easily give anytime you like and also have reoccurring gifts. So be sure to check out our app. You can go to bayshorecc.org/app. That's bayshorecc.org/app. And find links to download the Bayshore Church app.
Well, what's up, 1030? Woo! Man, guys, it is Fast and Furious weekend, and I'm curious how many of you drive a little fast. Come on, be honest. You're in church. Raise your hands. Keep them up. Back row, we know you drove fast because you were late to church. That's why you're in the back row. Who thinks the speed limit is a suggestion? Keep your hands up. Okay, just keep them up. Keep them up. Okay, good. Thank you for your honesty in church over here. Good. All right, I'm going to send this over to Troop 7 right down the road here because y'all need to slow down. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to send it to Troop 7. Some of your insurance can't take that. Anyway, hey, welcome to church. If this is your first time here and we have not met, my name is Joel and I'm the campus pastor here. We are so glad you're here. Even if you speeded to get here, like it's okay. We're glad you're hanging out with us. Also want to give a big shout out to our online family. We love you all. And this is kind of crazy about our online family. For our Jurassic Park message 2 weekends ago, we had over 400 people watch on Facebook Live. 400 people, which is really amazing. So can you guys just like pretend like Vin Diesel just walked in the room or something and get rowdy for our first-time guests in our online family? Yeah, there's a woo for Vin Diesel. Yes. Thank you guys for joining us. It's awesome. And I normally skipped you all. I'm glad you all are in the room. Yeah, Bo's glad. I'm glad. I'm glad you guys are in the room. Thank you for being here. So today, for At the Movies, it's the Fast and the Furious. Now, before we hit the gas pedal on this one and get going, just because we're talking about the Fast and Furious today doesn't mean that we're recommending that you go out and watch all the movies tonight. So this is your disclaimer, okay? Because if you go out and watch all the Fast and Furious movies tonight, I'm going to have a bunch of emails in my inbox in the morning. Because there's a bunch of stuff in these movies that we are not down with as a church. But I love where we can take the theme of these movies. And so that's why we're talking about them today. And so I think it should be a lot of fun. But if you need to watch a movie later with fast cars in it, don't watch The Fast and Furious. I would recommend Cars 3. Yeah. It's on Netflix. I know that because I have two children in my house. And it doesn't have Vin Diesel in Cars 3. But it does have Mater. So I lost the Mater, all right? So anyway, all right, the Fast and the Furious. Now, you guys ready to start your engines?
Yes.
You ready? Okay. People love the Fast and Furious movies. Love them. Now some people love them because of the cars. So some of you may love them because of the explosions. Some of you may like the Fast and Furious movies because of Vin Diesel. Just a clap for, wow. Look, I'm a pastor, but just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I don't know why you all watch these movies. I know, Vin Diesel pulls you in. But these movies are massive now, okay? There's 8 of them. They've made over $5 billion. It's one of the top 10 largest movie franchises in history. There was an insurance company that analyzed all the movies and discovered that the amount of damage done to cars and buildings in the 8 movies went up to $514 million. So you thought your spouse ran into a lot of things with a family sedan. $514 million worth of damage in these 8 movies. They've raced through the streets of L.A. and London and Tokyo. They've jumped their cars onto yachts and into, like, skyscrapers and stuff. I mean, it is chaos. And if you had to describe the Fast and Furious movies in one word, it would be speed. These movies are all about the need for speed. Now, I've seen how some of you drive. some of you all are about the need for speed as well, okay? And so how many of you, you're all about driving fast? You're driving fast? Yeah, some of you more raised their hand earlier. I don't know what's different, but anyway. So when I was growing up, my brother's best friend was Joe Baker. And I remember the first summer that my brother and his best friend, Joe Baker, got their license. And they each got their very first jobs in Bethany Beach. And I was 14 years old, so I didn't have a job. My job was to go with them to their job, and I just walked around Bethany Beach all day long. No lie, at 14 years old, 5 days a week in the summer, I just walked around Bethany Beach. It's like the greatest summer of my life. It was amazing. And so every morning to go to work for Tim and his best friend, Joel Baker, Joel would come over to our house, and he would pick us up in his 1987 Toyota Corolla. And we called it the pearly white. And we have a picture of a 1987 Toyota Corolla because I couldn't get a picture of his. Okay, this is 80s style right here. And this thing right here, okay, it was packed with all sorts of features. We're talking a tape cassette player, a very, very brown interior, and window handles. Come on, window handles. Some of you are like, what is that? Okay, look it up on YouTube. Okay, I don't know. And so Joe Baker will pull up. We would get in the pearly white. We'd get in this car, and he abused this car. Because we would pull onto Wiley Branch Road every morning in Millsboro, and Joe Baker would mash the gas pedal in this 87 Toyota Corolla, and it would go, like it was not built for speed. All right, like this car got like 80 miles to the gallon in the 80s, which was amazing. Okay, it's like it was like a moped stuck in first gear. It's just like, but he didn't care. He would mash the gas pedal because Joel Baker's goal was to hit 100 miles per hour every single morning on Wiley Branch Road in Millsboro on the way to Bethany Beach. And no lie, almost every single morning on Wiley Branch Road, he would hit 100 miles per hour. And I was sitting in the back seat, and tape cassettes would be flying by me. I was holding onto the window handles. Little bike tires on this thing were smoking. Like, this car was not meant to do that, all right? And at 14 years old, we renamed Wiley Branch Road the 100 Mile Per Hour Road. I'll never forget it. And so Joel had a need for speed. My brother also has a need for speed. When he was 18, he bought a 1989 Ford Mustang GT that was all rusted out, and he had it totally restored. He had it painted sunset orange. He put 20-inch rims on it, and it did not sound like a moped stuck in first gear. And the only person who loved his Mustang GT more than him was Troop 7. Over here. This is 100% true. In one day, in that car, he got pulled over 3 times. How do you think the state police afforded a helicopter? My brother personally funded that helicopter. But we loved riding this Ford Mustang GT. I remember one of the first times we rode in Ocean City. We had stopped at a stoplight, and we're just sitting there, and there was girls in the car next to us, and they started waving at us. And I was like, is there something wrong with a car? Because like normally if they waved at me in my car, like it was smoking or something. But this was like a new experience for me. I drove a 1989 Honda Accord. Like people did not wave at me unless like the tire fell off. Like that's what was going on. But it was a great car. And like my brother drives fast. Joel Baker drove fast. I do not drive fast. Okay, like my life motto is drive like an elderly person stuck in a 35-year-old's body. Like, seriously, I don't have a need for speed. I have a need for gas mileage. Anybody with me? Yes, okay. And so I have a need for gas mileage. I have a sedan with 2 car seats in the back. All right, my car situation screams middle-aged person. It screams like, get in the right lane. That's me. So I don't have a need for speed. But it's okay because in my family, it's made up by my wife over here. She has a need for speed. She could beat Vin Diesel with a blindfold on, okay? Like, she is the reason the little handle thingies above the passenger seat exist. The whole time, I'm just like, oh, Lord, please, I'm a pastor, I'll pray. Like, and so one more time, how many of you have a need for speed? Hands up if you have a need for speed. Okay, you all are the reason those little handle thingies exist. Who is boring like me and you don't have a need for speed? You have a need for gas mileage. My people, arrive alive, right? That's our motto right there. But listen, everything in our culture moves so fast. Everything is about speed nowadays. Okay, the internet. What's the worst thing that can happen when you're watching Netflix? It freezes. And you're like, what is this net neutrality? Like, how did the government let this happen to me? We want fast internet. We want fast deliveries. I remember when I was a kid, it would take 6 to 8 weeks sometimes for things to show up to your doorstep. You guys remember those days? Those are dark days. Now with Amazon Prime, if it doesn't show up in 2 days, like, you can call Jeff Bezos. They're going to send out a drone. They're going to get it to your house. We want fast deliveries. We want fast internet. The iPhone. How crazy is it that this has only been out for 11 years? 11 years since this thing was introduced. Like, what did we do before the iPhone? Blackberries. No, not Blackberries. No, we talk to each other. I don't know. Like, but so now with the iPhone, on average, we spend about 5 hours a day on our mobile devices. Everything is about speed now. Shop faster, travel faster, date faster. You know, just swipe right. You single people think, I don't know what's going on. I know what's going on. And so all this stuff in our world makes us move faster, which is amazing. But let me ask this question. With all this speed in our lives, has it made you any less busy? With all this speed in your lives, has it made you less busy? No. But most of us would say, you know, things are moving faster than ever, but I still feel busier than ever. Because listen, all this stuff that makes our world go faster, it will never make you feel less hurried. Because hurry is not a technology problem. Hurry is a human condition problem. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got a condition, buddy. Some of you aren't playing. Say, turn back to him and say, you're hurried. Two people are playing along. Okay, that's good. Look, if you feel hurried, would you raise your hand if you're not too busy? If you're not too busy, if you feel hurried, would you raise your hand? Yeah, we all feel hurried, or a lot of us feel hurried. Now, I think hurry and busy are different. But busyness kind of comes and goes in different seasons. Like, if you have little kids, anybody have little kids right now? Busy season, right? You know, you're going to Little League practice. You're doing homework. You're packing your kids' lunches. Bo is packing 5 lunches. I mean, this is a busy season. And so we have busy seasons. Starting a business is a busy season. Going to college and finals in college is a busy season. Having young children, busy season. But I think hurry is deeper. Hurry is at the soul level. Hurry is this never-ending feeling of, man, I can never get ahead. Hurry is a feeling of, man, no matter what I do, my list just keeps growing and growing. Hurry is this weight that makes us stay up at night because we just can't sleep. We're just thinking about all these things. Hurry is at the soul level. Now, hurry is not new. Even in Jesus' day, okay, they didn't have iPhones. They didn't have one-click shop, and nobody was driving a Toyota Corolla 100 miles an hour down a 100-mile-per-hour road. None of that existed, but everyone still knew what it was like to feel hurried. And then Jesus shows up, and he offers us something better than a fast and furious life. So I want to show you what that is. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28. And this is Jesus' words. It'll be up on the screen so you can follow along with me. It says, then Jesus said, come to me. All you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, which is us right here, we're weary, we carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. We'll come back to that. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find, help me out here, rest for your souls. In other words, this isn't about rest for your fingers because you're typing too many emails. This isn't about rest for your legs because it was leg day at the gym where you rushed through directly after Little League practice. This is deeper. Jesus is like, this is rest for your souls. But isn't it true? We don't really think we need rest for our souls. We think we need to figure out how we can do more in less time. I'm all about figuring out how I can do more in less time. And in our house, every morning I get our kids ready for day school because Stacy goes to work before me. And so I have to get my kids ready. And so part of that means I have to do Nora's hair every morning. Now, look up here. Look up here. I'm not qualified to do hair. So every morning, Nora will say, hey, Daddy, can you give me a braid? And I'm like, no, I can do a pony, which is a ponytail. I'm like, no, I can do a pony. And then she'll say, well, can you give me piggy tails? And I'll be like, no, I can do, you maybe didn't hear me. I can do a ponytail. And she'll say, well, how about a side pony? I'm like, I don't know what that is, okay? Like, I'm a one-trick pony. It is a pony. That's what I can do. But I'm always trying to figure out in my house how I can do more in less time. And so I watched a video on YouTube for how you can use a vacuum cleaner to give your kids, like, great ponytails. I'm serious, okay? And I got a picture just to kind of visualize this and help the dads in the room. So here's what you do. You take the vacuum nozzle and you put your hair tie on it, on the end. And then you call your kid over and you suck their hair up in the vacuum cleaner. Shoop. Then you, take notes, dads. Some dads are taking the first notes they've ever taken in church. Okay, this is good. You suck their hair up, and then you just roll the hair tie down, and boom, perfect ponytail every time. And the reason I know that is because I've done it to Nora. And it works. And so we're always trying to figure out, man, how can I do more in less time? And we think, man, I wouldn't feel hurried if I could just figure out how to do more in less time in my life. And Jesus is like, okay, no. This isn't about shortcuts to your calendar. This isn't about YouTube videos for time efficiency. This is about you getting rest at the soul level. At the soul level. And so how do we downshift from a fast and furious life in a fast and furious culture? And so I just want to give you two things today based on what we read from Jesus. And it's this. The first one is this. Shift into rest. Since we're talking about cars, shift into rest. Now, I found out a lot about the Fast and Furious movies this week, thank you to Google, and I thought I'd share some of these random facts about the Fast and Furious for you. So we'll throw these up on the screen. Did you know they shift gears 311 times in the Fast and Furious movies? In the first seven movies, 311 times. Now, do you know what that means? That means somebody had to literally watch all those movies and count that. Not a very fun job, right? Here's something else about the Fast and Furious movies. In the first seven movies, there's over 10 minutes of cars just revving their engines. So I kind of figure when we leave church today, everyone should just rev their engines in the parking lot. Especially if you're rocking a Toyota Prius, okay? Just like, you show them who the king of the highway is, all right? All right, the most expensive car in the Fast and Furious movies is this. It's called a Lincoln Hypersport. That car costs $3.4 million. Now, it drives 245 miles per hour. Actually, it drove 245 miles per hour because they wrecked it in the movie, which seems a little irresponsible to me. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there. But do you want to see the coolest car in the Fast and Furious movies? Because it's not this car. The coolest car in the Fast and Furious movies, all right, here it is, right here. Boom. Just kidding, that's my car, people. It's got two car seats in the back and a top speed of 60. Look, even if I put fancy gas, you know the fancy gas at the gas station? If I put that in this car, it would never perform like the cars in the Fast and Furious movies, right? But listen, in our culture, so much of our self-worth and value is based on performance. Everything is about performance, achievement. And so I thought I'd help you visualize this. So we have these tires up here, and I just want to help you visualize how our culture tells us that you're going to get your self-worth and your value, okay? So here's where it starts. Our culture says your self-worth and value, you guys won't be able to see this over here, but is achievement right here. And so everything's about, hey, man, is your business growing? Like, did you get everything done on your to-do list today? Like, what kind of hair do's can you do, dads? Like, everything is about performance, what we can achieve. That's where we start our self-worth based on our culture. And if we achieve some things, we start to feel like we have some acceptance. We get some attaboys. You know, you get some respect at work. And at school, because you achieve some things, you get the respect of your family, you get the respect of your friends. So we're hustling to achieve, to get some acceptance. And only after we achieve and get some acceptance do we start to feel that we have significance. And so our culture tells us, if you are riding down the road on these tires, in this order, achievement, acceptance, significance, then, man, you're going to be feeling like you're riding in life like you're going down the 100-mile-per-hour road in a Lincoln Hypersport. Like, this is what our culture says. This is in the race of life, this is the tire setup for you. But this won't lead to any rest. in your life. Look, if you want to know why you feel fast and furious, this is it right here. Because you are constantly hustling for self-worth. Everything is about perform, perform, perform. It's kind of like what Vin Diesel said in the Fast and Furious movies. He says, it doesn't matter if you win or lose by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning. We're all about winning is, I'm going to win at school, at work, or whatever. I've got to win. The problem with that is when you don't win, which will happen, if you don't win, then you don't feel accepted and you don't feel significance. When we all get our self-worth based on achievement. And so Jesus comes along and is like, okay, all right, that's not my tire set up for you. All right, that's the world's tire set up for you. That's where they get their self-worth from, but I got something better for you. So in this race that we call life, Jesus's tire setup starts with acceptance. Because if you're a Jesus follower, you are accepted, period. You are loved, period. Your acceptance from Jesus is not based on your performance. Is anybody excited about that? Because listen, I don't want to offend anybody, but your performance looks a little more like an 87 Toyota Corolla than a Lycan Hypersport. Our performance isn't all that good, but Jesus, when he looks at you, he said, man, you are accepted. And so that's where self-worth begins when it comes to Jesus. And when we realize that we are accepted up front, we feel significance. Because you realize, look, Jesus accepted me for me. I'm already forgiven. My eternity is already secure. Man, I must be significant and Jesus would give me that sort of love. And so it starts with acceptance. It moves on to significance. And when you realize that you are accepted and you're significant, man, you are going to achieve so much more. You want to know how you can become a high-performance vehicle? You got to realize that you are a high-acceptance vehicle first. When we realize that we are fully known and fully loved, we are going to hustle and perform so much better. Because everybody in this room, deep down, all we want is to be fully known and fully loved. My boy Nixon, he asked me a funny question the other day, which he does because he's three. And so he was really confident with his question. He said, Daddy, did you know that I was in Mommy's belly? I was like, yeah, but I knew that, bud. Thanks for not asking me how you got in Mommy's belly. Not ready for that question right now. But I was like, Nixon, I knew you were in Mommy's belly. I said, Nixon, I was there the day you were born. I'm the one who gave you your very first haircut. I'm the one who pushed you into a wave at the beach. I'm the one who got up with you at midnight the other night because you wet the bed. Thank you for that. But I'm like, Nixon, listen, I know everything about you, and I love you like crazy. And you know what? That's just like Jesus to us. He knows everything about us, and he still loves us like crazy. You are fully known and fully accepted. All right, this is Jesus' dream tire setup for you. This is where self-worth comes from. Everyone else is trying to sell you this, okay? Perform, perform, perform. But when you realize that you are fully known and fully accepted, that Jesus lived and he died and he rose again so that you could be free, man, that's where self-worth comes from. Self-worth doesn't come from, you know, your performance review at work. It's not supposed to come from your grades. It's not supposed to come from, you know, all these different things in life. Your self-worth isn't based on your 1987 Toyota Corolla that you're rocking out in the parking lot. Your self-worth isn't anchored in your hustle. Your self-worth is anchored in Jesus. You are accepted. Now, I'm all about hustle. I work my tail off. But I'm not about hustle for self-worth. I'm about hustle because of God's worth. I'm about hustle because of all the love and acceptance that God has shown me. That's what drives me. And when you realize, like I said, that you are fully known and fully accepted, you will hustle harder and perform better. And so if you're kind of tired of being fast and furious, all right, this is Jesus' dream tire set up for you. All right, this is how you need to shift into rest. But this will just lead to a never-ending life of being fast and furious because it starts with hustle. All right, the second thing is this. All right, shift into rest. The second thing is change your pace. Change your pace. I saw a picture on the internet this week of a rabbit, a dog, and a turtle. Are you interested now? All right, let's throw it up here on the screen. It says rabbits jump and they live for 8 years. Dogs run and they live for 15 years. Turtles do nothing and they live for 150 years. Who's married to a turtle? Some people are like, yes. Yeah, so listen, in our house, Stacy is a rabbit when she drives. Like, that's putting it lightly, okay? But in every other arena, she's a turtle, man. Like, when we go to the beach, I am the rabbit. And so I get the wagon all loaded up, and I'm pulling that wagon up the beach at like 245 miles per hour. And I have to do that because I see that person who is eyeing up my spot on the beach, and they're from New Jersey. And I'm like, you need to go back to the shore because this is my spot right here. I'm just kidding. I love New Jersey. I love you guys. But I am like hustling on the beach. I move fast in every other arena of life. But Stacy's like a quarter mile behind. And she's like, it's like chasing a butterfly or something. Like, she's just a turtle. And listen, she's going to outlive me because of that. That's what's going to happen. But we all go through life at different paces. Any turtles out there? Okay, the hands are coming up. They're like, we all go through life at different paces, all right? But there's really only two sets of tires to ride through life on. And one is based on achievement, and one is based on acceptance. And we all need to know this. We are naturally going to drift into this lane right now, right here, where we base everything on achievement. Now, I want to tell you all a story, but in order for me to tell you this, you're not allowed to feel bad for me. Okay, so like if I tell you this, you can't like, you know, write an encouraging note and like corner me in the lobby. You know, you can't give me like a package of Reese cups to make me feel better. Actually, I'll accept the Reese cups. But in order for me to tell you this, you're not allowed to feel bad for me because that's not why I'm telling the story. Would you agree? Would you give me a head nod? Okay, that's a binding agreement and it's in church, so you got to do it. But sometimes when I preach up here on this stage, I don't feel like I do a very good job. And some Sundays I step off this stage and I will beat myself up. And I'll think, Joel, you didn't say that right, or you didn't help anybody, or you just wasted everybody's time today. And occasionally these words will just run through my mind. And listen, I take standing up here really seriously because it is a privilege to stand up here on the stage. And so I am a big, I'm sometimes my worst critic. And so sometimes I will leave here and I will think these words in my head. Joel, you are only, and this is a lie, but Joel, you're only as good as your last message. You're only as good as your last message. And if the message doesn't go well, then I'm not doing well. And so I thought about that this week, and I thought, how often do we all go through life thinking, I'm only as good as my last performance? I'm only as good as my last performance as a mom. I'm only as good as my last performance as a dad, or as a husband, or as a wife, or as a friend, or as a coworker. I'm only as good as my last performance as in life. Has a version of this ever hit anybody before? We go through life basing everything on performance. In the Fast and Furious, Vin Diesel says, I live my life one quarter mile at a time. And I think most of us live our life measuring ourselves one performance at a time. But that will wear you out. Okay, that will wear you out more than the 100 mile per hour road wore out my buddy's little bike tires on his Toyota Corolla. That will wear you out. And so Jesus said, hey, come to me. Okay, if you're worn out, come to me and I will give you what? Rest. And so how is he going to give us rest? So let's look back at verse 29 and then we'll look at verse 30 and we'll talk about it. He says, take my yoke upon you, let me teach you. Now, in Jesus' day, everybody wanted a teacher. Everybody wanted a rabbi. That's why when Jesus drafted the 12 disciples, they dropped everything, okay? Jesus was like, hey, let me teach you. And they're like, all right, we're in. They just dropped everything because everybody wanted a teacher. Everybody wanted a rabbi. And now Jesus is offering the same thing to us. Let me, he's saying, teach you guys, which is wild, right? And so here's what he says. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Is anybody down for a light burden? Anybody down for that right there? So Jesus is like, hey, let me teach you how not to live life one performance at a time. Let me teach you how not to live life one performance at a time. So Jesus says, let me teach you. Now, what do you think let me teach you means? He's saying, watch me. Live like I lived. Look at what I do with my time and do those things. Imitate me. And so what did Jesus do with his time? What does his life look like? Have you ever noticed that Jesus was always busy but never hurried? Like, there's no example in the Bible where, like, some women and children came up to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, we're really hungry. Can you feed us and our 5,000 friends? And Jesus was like, hold on one second. Hey, Peter, can you get out my iCal? Oh, I'm busy right now. Hey, I'm busy. I'll have to feed the 5,000 next Thursday. Like, there's no example of that in the Bible. Jesus was always busy, but he was never hurried. And so what did Jesus do? Okay, how was he able to be busy, but able to have rest at the soul level? What did he spend his time doing? Well, one thing he did is he was always peeling away and praying. Okay, like the disciples would be like, where's Jesus? Oh, he's praying. Yeah. Again? Yeah. Didn't he pray all night last night as well? And so you got a guy who's busier than all of us. He's never hurried, and he still has time to peel off and pray. Now, my dad taught me a lot about prayer. But before I tell you about that, since it's Fast and Furious Day, can I just tell you one vehicle story about my dad? Is that okay? Okay, so my dad has been our lead pastor since before I was born. And our church hasn't always been called Bayshore Community Church. It used to be called Gumber Fellowship Church. And in the 80s, you were not a legit church unless you had a legit church van. And like, if you've never driven in the back of a 15-passenger church van, you have never lived, okay? It's amazing. And so we got our first church van in the 80s, and it was a Ford Econoline van that was two-tone brown. Every vehicle in the 80s had brown somewhere, okay? So two-tone brown. And it had lettered all over the side of it, Gumber Fellowship Church. And my dad would drive it home a lot of nights. And so I remember some nights my dad would take all the benches out of the back of the 15-passenger van, and he would tell me and my brother to get in the back of the 15-passenger van with Gumber Fellowship Church lettered all over it. And he'd pull out onto our road, Carrie's Camp Road, and he'd look back at us, and he'd stop. And he'd say, boys, I'm going to drive down this road really fast. And I want you to stand up in the back, and I'm going to swerve all over the road, and the last person standing at the end of the road wins. True story. And so we'd be in the church van, and me and Tim were like, we're ready. And he would like hit it, you know, as much as a van could go. And we would be driving down Carrie's Camp Road, and dad is swerving from one side of the road to the next, and we're just like trying not to die in the back of the church van. And all I can think is, what did my neighbors think? You know, like, there's the pastor again. Not going down to that church, like, right? I will never forget my dad doing that in the back of the church van. And another thing I'll never forget about my dad is almost every morning when I would wake up as a kid, I'd walk out into our living room, and my dad would be on his hands and knees, and he'd have his face in our couch, and he would be praying. This was a normal sight for me as a kid. I'd walk out, and my dad would just be hands and knees, praying, and his face in the couch, and sometimes he would do that for hours. Now, he was busy. He was a dad. He was running a growing church. He had a lot of stuff going on, but he never had too much going on to peel off and pray. And so for me, that taught me a lot about prayer. And so now I pray all the time. I pray when I'm standing up here on this front row. I pray when I'm driving. So if I'm swerving, that's why it's the prayer thing. But I pray when I'm laying in bed. I mean, I pray for you all. I pray every day for wisdom. I pray for my family. I pray about everything. So how does prayer make us feel rest at the soul level? Because prayer is releasing your problems. That's what prayer does. You release your problems. So Jesus says, let me teach you. And what did Jesus do? He prayed. He prayed. What else did Jesus do? Well, Jesus always spent time with his close circle of friends. Okay, his 12 disciples, that was his inner circle. That was his posse. Those were his people. And that's where he got rest in his relationship with those 12 people. And to find rest, we got to have a close circle of friends that you spend time with, people that you share similar values with. That's why we talk about Bayshore groups around here and next steps around here. And that's why we, you know, want people to join a volunteer team, because you show up to these things and you start talking to people. And you're like, okay, maybe I'll start calling this person. And then you become friends, and there's rest in relationships. The last thing that I'll bring up is Jesus, what else he was doing was he was going to synagogue all the time. In other words, Jesus went to church, which you guys are doing right now. Give me like an air high five. Come on, it's like 100% almost. That's awesome right there. And so he was always going to church. And so like, I know it's hard to go to church. And it's hard to make time to go to church. And a lot is changing with going to church. When I was growing up, I had to go to church like every day, basically. Anybody in here, like, you were drugged to church at least once a week as a kid? Did you go in the church van that you're standing up in the back of? But a lot is changing with going to church on a regular basis. In fact, recent statistics show that church families, people who do go to church once every 3 weeks now. So church is no longer really a priority. Now, in our house, I tell my kids straight up, like, you're going to church. If I'm going to church, you're going to church. Like, if I'm going to tell them one day you're going to do homework and you can't skip soccer practice, and I'm going to tell them, hey, you can't skip church. I mean, that's just how we roll in our house. But I know it's hard to get here with all the things you all got going on your plate. But I also know that when you walk in here and somebody says hi to you at church and welcome to church, and then you come in here and we sing some songs together, and then we, you know, sit and we talk and we laugh, and you guys look at Bo's baby over here. You walk out of here. Don't most Sundays you walk out of here and think, man, I'm glad I came to church today.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's something powerful about church and friends and prayer. These things bring us rest at the soul level. And so Jesus was always busy, but he was never hurried. And guys, Jesus had to save the entire world in 3 days. You think you got a lot on your plate, okay? He had a lot going on. And so it's when we spend time doing these things that we get rest at a deeper level. We get rest at a deeper level. And you might say, well, you know, I don't have time to do those things. And honestly, I believe you don't have time not to do those things. My pop-up, he loved his vehicles. And one thing he had when I was a kid growing up, I remember he had this like yellow Cadillac. And it was like super clean on the outside. And it was yellow on the outside, but it wasn't just yellow on the outside. It was yellow on the inside. Yellow leather seats. Who knew that existed? Okay, I didn't even know. And he kept it like all clean and so clean. And the seats were so clean that when me and Tim would ride in the back of it, when they would go around a turn, we'd slide to the other side and we'd slide back. I mean, he just, and my pop-up, he always had a GMC pickup truck with a pop-up cap on the back. Pop-up caps. If you have a pop-up cap and you're not a pop-up, I'm not here to judge you. I think those things are awesome. My pop-up thought the bigger the pop-up cap is, you know, the happier he was. And so he loved his trucks and he loved his caddy. And I remember talking to me about vehicles. And one time I remember him saying, now, Joel, no matter how busy you get, you always got to make time to change your oil. And I'm like, pop-up, I'm 8 years old. But he was always teaching lessons. So he said, no matter how busy you get, you got to make time to change your oil. Because if you don't change your oil right, your car's not going to run right. And you know what? He's right. There's some things that we don't have time for, but we just make time for them. We make time for it. And you got to make time for what's most important. And so Jesus said, I want to give you rest. Let me teach you. And he prayed, and he spent time at church, and he spent time with his friends. Now, how in the world does that give you rest? Because this is like a little trick, like, you know, that doesn't give me rest. That's more things to do. Okay, here's why prayer and spending time with your friends and going to church gives you rest. Because it's in those environments that you realize that you are accepted. It's in those environments that you realize you're accepted and then you are significant. And that revs you up to be a high performance vehicle because you're standing in his acceptance. You're standing in his significance and you're standing in his achievement. This is your tire setup for rest in a fast and furious life. Yep. Let me pray for you all. Jesus, I'm just so thankful that you spoke to us and said, let me teach you, because I'm somebody who wrestles with going and going hard and hustling and trying to do these things. And a lot of times it's driven by a deep sense of self-worth or trying to get self-worth. And God, thank you for showing us that you accept us first. That we're significant, which is mind-blowing, because we don't feel like we deserve, and we really don't deserve significance, but you have shown us that we are significant. So God, I just pray that you'll help give us rest, not for us, our bodies physically necessarily, but give us rest at the soul level. And God, we just pray that we'll prioritize prayer, we'll prioritize spending time with our friends that we share similar values with, and we'll prioritize showing up here every weekend so we are reminded that we're accepted, we're significant, and that way we are revved up to be a high performance vehicle. God, thank you so much. We love you for everything. Amen. Amen.